You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hello, welcome once again. Welcome to another episode. This one, again, it's just you and me. And today we're talking all about the mind. Well, we're going to talk about a bit about the mind anyway. I'm talking about the two main components, as it were, of the mind, the conscious and the unconscious. And we're going to talk about the difference between them, what their functions are. And the reason we're doing this is because by having a kind of a brief understanding of the difference between these two components of the mind, we get to kind of understand a bit more about how we got to be the way we are. So let's dive right in. And remember, the thing to remember with all of this is, ultimately, this is all just metaphor. We haven't got two physically distinct chunks of the mind. This is metaphor. It's a good way for us to kind of understand the processing that's sort of going on inside the brain. And just to throw a spanner in the works, toward the end, we'll also look at the third component as well. Oops. You could split it up into all manner of components, but that's what we're going to look at anyway, the two main ones and kind of a third kernel. So the two main parts of the mind that we're going to be looking at are the conscious and the unconscious. You've heard these terms many times before. Some people refer to the conscious as subconscious. It all means that kind of they're the same sort of thing, really. So let's start with the conscious mind. Let's start with the conscious mind. What is the conscious mind? Well, the conscious mind is the bit that it's your awareness. Your awareness is part of your conscious mind. It's the bit you consciously thinking of. It's kind of the bit that's you. When you sort of think, when you're thinking about things and experiencing things, and when you have an awareness of what is going on around you, that's all your conscious. Your conscious mind is where this is all taking place. And the conscious mind is, in evolutionary terms, the most recent part of the mind that developed. It's the most recent part of the brain, part of the mind. Some say it's kind of what sets us apart from many other members of the animal kingdom. There is speculation that there are animals which do possess a conscious mind, perhaps as advanced as ours, perhaps even more advanced in some ways. Who knows? But generally, the conscious mind is the bit that we're thinking of, it's the bit we're aware of. Now, the thing with the conscious mind, it's very much the domain of logic, of reason, of thinking things through, of analytical thought, all these sorts of things. Now, that's not to say that you can't have emotional thought as well. Obviously we do. But the conscious tends to be where the logical side of things comes into play. It's the bit that takes time to process these things and gets a good viewpoint. Now, again, the conscious and the unconscious, they both work in both aspects, both areas. But this is kind of just gives us a broad overview. So the conscious mind is the bit that we are consciously aware of. It's where our awareness is. It's where we logically process things and analyze things. We think things through. We take a methodical approach to it. Now, the thing with the conscious mind is it can only work with what the unconscious gives us. All the information that we get through all of our senses, we're bombarded by 2 million bits of information every single second through all of our senses. Pop quiz, how many senses have we got? If you said 5, sorry, the answer is you're wrong. The answer is, well, it varies, but at least 10 is generally reckoned to be the answer, probably more than 10. You've got sight, sound, touch, taste, smell, obviously. You've got a sense of balance. Some people can sense electricity and electromagnetism. You've got a sense of when you're full and you need to visit the bathroom. That is a sense. Sensory organs, sensory receptors involved in that. If you were to take your hand, pop it behind somewhere behind your back, you would know exactly where behind your back it is, even though you can't see it. Proprioception, a sense of where the different parts of our body are, even when we can't see them. You could close your eyes and you'd know when your hand is in front of your face, even though you can't see it. Anyway, digressing slightly there. So all of the information comes in through all of our senses, comes into our unconscious. Our conscious is only aware of a part of that. And our conscious mind can kind of only handle 7 plus or minus 2 chunks of information at any one time. That works out at about, give or take, 134 bits of information. So it's a huge amount that gets that we're not dealing with on a second by second basis consciously. And just to give you an example of this, at the moment you're wherever you are, you're listening to my voice, perhaps watching the video, you can see and hear. But are you aware of perhaps the feeling of, if you sat down, the chair underneath you? Well, now you are. You probably weren't a few moments ago consciously aware of it, but you are now. But are you aware of perhaps the feeling of slight air movements in the room? Well, again, you're now aware of that, whereas you weren't. These things come into our consciousness and come out of our consciousness, but our unconscious is constantly getting all of those bits of information. When we get bombarded by too much stuff, we can have sensory overload, and that can cause all manner of issues. And that's something we can take a look at, perhaps in another time. Have you ever noticed? Maybe you're driving and you've got the radio on or your favorite music playing, and all's good. And then you come to the final bit where you've got to really focus on where you're going, really focus on the directions. What do? You turn the music down so that you can concentrate better. Why are you doing that? Reducing sensory overload. You now need to concentrate a lot more on the information that you're taking in visually, all the visual cues as to where to turn, all these things. You need more of your processing power to handle that. So you reduce the other sensory overload. You get rid of the music or the radio or whatever you're listening to, because you can only your conscious mind can only handle 7 plus or minus 2 chunks of information. So a couple of bits there. We'll talk about the filters, then we'll talk about the chunks of information. So we've got 2 million bits coming in, we can only handle about 134 bits, that's 7 plus or minus 2 chunks of information. How does the rest of it get, what happens? We've got these filters in our mind. They call it the RAS, but it's a set of filters basically, which kind of filters out, is this stuff important? Is this important to what we're focusing on at the moment? If it is, it'll get passed through. If it's not, it won't get passed through. And that has massive ramifications for so many things that we do in life. In a future episode, we're going to talk all about the law of attraction. That's going to be an interesting one. But that will come back to this. These sets of filters play a big part in that. Now, have you ever noticed, perhaps, you buy a new car or a second-hand car, and all of a sudden, loads of other examples of that exact make, model, and colour are suddenly driving around on the road. Is it that everybody's gone out and bought the same make, model, and colour of car as you have? Of course not. But what has happened is that is now an important piece of information for you. That make, model, and colour of car is important because it identifies your car, which means whenever you see something that matches that, these filters are going to pass it through and bring it to your conscious awareness because it could be your car. That's why you suddenly start noticing them. So that's kind of an example of the way in which things are filtered through. And it has such massive ramifications for us. There's, for example, and we'll touch on these in future episodes as well, but for example, there's constantly opportunities out there to make new friends, to make new contacts, to make money, to get new job, whatever it is, there is an abundance of opportunities all around. But if you're not really on the lookout for them, you're not going to see them. Which is why people who have a particular mindset around finance, for example, spot opportunities to do things related to finance. Many others don't, because they're not kind of on the lookout for them. And that, again, is all due to this set of filters. Also included in these filters are our beliefs. I mean, if we believe we will never succeed, we're not going to look for opportunities for success because we don't believe we can succeed. Also, what's going to happen is we're going to see evidence of failure to back up our assertion that we can never succeed. Now, here's the thing. Anything that we do, no matter how well we do it, we could always do it better. We can always find ways in which we could do it better. We can always see signs that it could be considered a failure in some ways. So whether you look for failure or whether you look for success, you will find it. And again, it's all down to that filtering system. Oh boy, there's a lot going on there. So we got this filtering system that takes all the stuff, filters it into our conscious mind. Now, our conscious mind can handle about 7 chunks of information. And any more chunks than that, and some other chunks will disappear. It's why, for example, suppose you try to remember a random string of numbers. Very, very hard. A random string of, say, 10 numbers. Or 11 numbers, like a phone number. If you just try and remember the random digits, sequence of digits, it gets very hard, because that's 11 pieces of information to remember. And we can consciously only handle 7 plus or minus 2, so 5 to 9 chunks, which is why it's really difficult. Which is why when we remember phone numbers, we will break them up. For example, 01, 811, 8055. That's broken into 3 chunks. That number rings a bell for some of you, I know. Pop a comment if you recognize where that number is from. I'd be really interested to see. Drop a comment if you do recognize where that number is from. It'll be interesting to see how many of you pick up on that. But we've broken it down into chunks, which makes it much easier to remember. And I spoke about driving. We're driving along fine, music's playing away, we're having a good time driving, we know where we're going. Then we get to close to our destination. We need to really concentrate. We need to be sort of on the lookout for signs, for the particular road that we want. We're also perhaps now in a busier area, so there's more closer traffic. There are pedestrians around, all sorts of obstacles. We really, really, really need to be focusing on that stuff. So rather than, there's a road, we've got that. There's a road, there's cars, there's parked cars, there's people on the pavement, the shops, there's a street there, there's a sign. Those now each become a chunk of information that we've got to handle, which is why we turn the stereo down, because that's occupying some space that we need to process this stuff. That's what's going on with the conscious mind. Chunks of information we can chunk up and chunk down, and we'll take a look at chunking in another episode if you're interested in that. It can be a really, really fascinating topic, and there's some very good skills you can develop in terms of chunking, which help you moving from bigger picture to small detail and back again. And it can be great for lateral thought as well. That all comes around from chunking. So again, pop a comment if you'd like to learn a bit more about chunking. We'll certainly include that. But for now, we're just talking about the main components of the mind. So we got, that's the conscious mind, the bit we think with, the bit we're consciously aware of, the bit where we're making sense of what's going on. And we can only hold a few pieces of information, which is why when we start talking about something else, all the bits we were thinking about have now gone out of our mind. We're not focusing on them at all. We may even forget them. That's our conscious mind. Then we've got underneath that, we've got the unconscious, which has been with us evolutionarily evolutionarily, is that even a word? Who knows? Speaking for much longer. Now the unconscious, the main role of the unconscious is to keep us alive. That's its main role. The main role of the unconscious is to keep us alive. The role of the conscious is more for us to experience and navigate our way through life and to think great thoughts and so on. The unconscious, that's focused on keeping us alive, keeping us in one piece. It handles everything that we do without thinking. You know, our breathing, our digesting, keeping the heart pumping, keeping all our organs doing what our organs do to keep us alive, all handled by the unconscious mind. We don't think, right, breathe in, stop, and breathe out, and keep focusing. I mean, if you were to focus on your breathing, other stuff's going to disappear. And that's one of the good ways. What's one of the key ways for meditating is focusing on your breathing. That's why they talk about contemplating your navel or focusing on your breathing. Because when you focus all your attention on that, when that's occupying all the chunks, all the slots in your conscious mind, there's no space for other thoughts and so on to kind of sneak their way in. That's why focusing on your breathing is great for meditation. It's also great if you're having a bit of a panic. Bring all of your attention to your breathing, even if it's just for a few moments, a few slow, deep breaths, focusing all your attention on the breathing, hearing the breath, feeling the breath on your nostrils and your lip, feeling as it goes in deep inside of you, focusing all your awareness and attention on your breathing. It's a great way to push out all the other stuff that was occupying the conscious mind and causing you that stress. It enables you to calm down a bit. And that's why it works. Cool. It's almost as if this stuff works, right? Back to the unconscious. The unconscious is to keep us alive. So it handles all our breathing, all of these things. It processes all the information that comes in. So it takes all those 2 million bits of information that are bombarding all of our senses. Using the filters, it works out, is this stuff that we need to know about? Is this stuff that's relevant to us? Is this stuff we need to flag up to the conscious? Like, we really need to go to the bathroom now. Bing is going to flash that to the conscious because you need to make a decision and you need to do something. Is it something that of which we need to be aware, that we can bear in mind, and which perhaps shapes other information that's coming in? So these are all the things the unconscious is doing. Now, what has this got to do with fears and phobias and all that sort of thing? Turns out quite a lot, because it's the unconscious processes this stuff. Now, the unconscious is the domain of emotion. Conscious, logic, unconscious, emotion. And the unconscious is quicker than the conscious. The unconscious mind is much quicker than the conscious mind. Which means when it perceives something, it sees something which it perceives could be a threat, the unconscious kicks into action. The emotions ramp up. And we start to get those feelings of fear or anxiety or whatever it is, long before the conscious mind gets access to this information and gets to decide, you know what, this thing is not a problem for us. This can't hurt us. Because by the time the conscious gets it, the unconscious has already decided it's a threat and has already kicked things into action. Because that's its job, is to keep us alive. The conscious won't get it unless the unconscious decides its information the conscious needs. So the unconscious has already processed, already decided it's a threat, flagged it up to the conscious mind, say, hey, we're at risk, we're being threatened, we're under attack by that thing, let's do something about it. That's the point at which the conscious goes, oh, wait, it's only a tiny little spider. It can't harm us. It's absolutely fine. But we're already on red alert battle stations. We're already fight or flight mode. Which is why you can't rationalize yourself out of a phobia, a phobic attack. when you're in the midst of a phobia or when your fear and panic is really settled in. That's why it's so hard to consciously rationalize yourself logically out of it. Because by that time, the unconscious has kicked everything in to protect you. The emotions are running high. And when emotions are high, your intelligence is low. I mean, we've all experienced that. Perhaps somebody said something that's made us really angry as anything, and we snap, we say something, which we later regret. Oh, I should not have said that. I didn't mean to say it that way, but it's because our emotions were driving us rather than a calm, logical side of things. Yeah? There's so much more to this. So many of these topics we can explore in a lot more depth. Again, pop a comment. Let me know if you want to explore any of these in much more detail. It will be fascinating. But that's kind of a brief overview of where things are. We've got the conscious mind. It's a bit we're aware of. Logical, analyzes things, works stuff out. We've got the unconscious, which is the domain of emotion. And that's where we get what people call instinct or intuition. It's actually the unconscious processing this stuff really quickly, giving us guides, information in terms of emotion and feeling and so on. That's where all that stuff is coming from. It's coming from the unconscious, because it's got access to all of the information that's coming in. It's got access to all of the memories, processes it, gives us that information, which is why when we say we do something on instinct, I just got this instinct or this intuition that this was the answer. It's because our mind, it's not something that's fed in from some ethereal other. It's all in the mind. We had all that information. Our unconscious has processed it and come up with the answer. And it's then kind of presenting that answer up to our conscious mind. That's where it all comes from. Which is why, so often, going on our first instincts can be the right thing to do, because our unconscious has got access to all the information and has processed it all before we've had a chance for any fears to kick in, before we've had a chance to logic ourselves out of the decision. That's why sometimes trusting your first instincts can be very, very powerful. Very powerful indeed. Now, I said I was just going to throw a third component of the mind in just at the end, and that's where we are now. So that's the really, really small core part, the reptilian brain, if you want to call it that, from way, 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 way back in evolutionary terms, when we were millions and millions of years ago. That's a really core part that is purely concerned with, is this going to eat me or can I eat it? Is this going to try and mate with me? Is it going to kill me? It really is literally life and death stuff along those lines. That bit is kind of coded to spot threats and to respond to threats. Basically, it's coded so when it sees something which it perceives as a threat, flags up a massive alert to our unconscious, which then processes the stuff. But it also, at the same time, kicks in all our adrenaline and all these sorts of things. Again, this explains things like fears and phobias. Because that really core part spots something which matches the definition of threat. It kicks our adrenaline in, it kicks everything in. The unconscious then starts processing it, accesses the memories, go, yeah, actually, yes, this is a threat. Here's some memories to remind us of how threatening this is. We really need to run. Flags it up to the conscious mind. Hey, we're under attack here. Let's get out of this. The conscious mind at that point, way, way later than all the rest of it, starts to go, ah, no, you know what? It's all right. This isn't a problem. We don't have to deal with it. By which point, that core reptilian part has kicked all the adrenaline into us, so we're now prepared to fight or run, fight or flight. Our unconscious has kind of analysed it, gone, yep, this fits in with our memories, this fits in with our feelings of danger. Poor conscious doesn't stand a chance of overruling these things. Of course, all of this can be changed. We can reprogram the mind deep at the unconscious level, change those patterns, change the rule set that it has. And that goes to a lot of the work that I do. It's all around changing those filters, changing the emotional responses. Because when we change the filters, when we change those patterns, when we change the things we believe about those things, we change our responses massively. And that's it. That is pretty much it for this episode. There's a lot of information in there. You might want to listen to it or watch it a couple of times just to really let it all sink in. It's really just scratching the surface. As I say, there's so much more we could cover on any of these things. And please, if any of this is of interest, drop me a line, drop me a comment. Let me know if there are particular aspects that you'd like us to explore in more depth. We can absolutely do that in future episodes. That really is it for this episode. I hope you enjoy it. Let me know what you got from it. Let me know what you thought. Let me know how it's changed things for you. As always, wherever you access this, please subscribe, please give us a like, some comments, recommend us to your friends and family. And I will catch you again in the next episode, where I have a pretty fantastic guest lined up for the next episode, I have to say. So we'll catch you there. And in the meantime, take care, look after yourself, and remember, change is always possible. And when you change your mind, you change your life. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.